We're holding on Te Ala from a day by fourth line of the wide line. Okay, we mentioned in the Mishnah. We mentioned in the Mishnah that we were talking about the various permutations of the person wants to bring up Toda and or the lechem from Maita Sheni money. So we said that if he just says, if he just says a Tarei Alai Toda, then he has to bring the whole thing from Chulin. Only if he says that he wants to bring Toda from Maiser and the lechem from Chulin, Yavi, then the Mishnah said he can do that. And if he wants, and if he says that both it and the lechem should come from Maiser, then he can also Yavi. So the question is, when we say he v'lachmim and a Maiser Yavi, we said that if a person says, I want to bring the Toda and the bread that accompanies it from Maiser Sheni money, Yavi,
Who does Maiser Sheni money go usually?
Usually, Maiser Sheni money, you take it to your shalayim, you buy food with it, and you eat it in your shalayim. In this case, the person wants to use that money for a korban toda. So fine, Yavi, the Mishnah says now Yavi makes it sound like he must do it. So the question is, what do you mean, Yavi? Loi sagi delay maisi. What do you mean? He has to bring them both from maisi? Obviously, couldn't he just as well bring them from Poland? I mean, loi sagi isn't it enough? The loi maisi. That he must, in other words, bring the bread from Meister, and if he brings the bread from Chulin, wouldn't that still be better? Why is the Mishnah, the original neder that he made, we're talking about the case where Rashi learns that we're talking about the case in the Mishnah where we said that if he said Todim and a Meister, the Lachim and a Chulin Yobi, so then in that case, so he can bring it that way, so we're saying he could bring the korban from Maaser Sheni money. He doesn't have to. He could just as well bring it from Holland. So Rav Nachman and Rav Chista Ami, so both Rav Nachman and Rav Chista say, you're right. It doesn't mean Yavi he has to bring it. He could bring it. Yosta maybe. If he wants, he can bring it that way. Yosta lo Yavi, he doesn't have to bring it that way. He doesn't have to bring it that way. If he wants to bring one or both of them from Holland, then fine.
So that's the case.
You have two cases in the Mishnah. One where he said Toda and a Maiser, the Lachma and a Cholin, and that's acceptable. And the other, if he said Toda and Lachma, both of them should be in a Maiser.
That's also.
But yeah. So either way, then he can do as he said in his net. Choice just brings a couple of different views. Sorry for here exactly, but that's the gist.
Why would we have thought that he couldn't?
We would have thought that maybe Yavi means he has to bring it that way. So it doesn't mean he has to bring it that way, means he could. Then we said, below Yavi mechitim Maaser Sheni, we said that he should not bring the bread from wheat of Maaser Sheni. Elam imoyis Maaser Sheni, he has to bring it from money of Maaser Sheni. So again, wheat of Maaser Sheni would mean the actual wheat that he separated out as Maaser Sheni from his crop. He shouldn't be bringing that to your shalayim and then making flour out of that and bringing the lachmei toda out of that. It would have to be, but on the other hand, he can have some other produce. It could be wheat, could be anything else. That he exchanged for money, which he brought the money to your shalayim. He can use that money to buy wheat or flour or whatever for the lachmei toda. So Rav Nachman and Rav Chista Dami Tavayu. So Rav Nachman and Rav Chista both say what it means is Loishanu Ela Mechite Maaser Sheni. What the Mishnah is saying he can't do is to bring the lachmei toda from the actual wheat of Maaser Sheni. Avo Mechitin Halakofet Maaser Sheni Yod. But they say what he could do is he could bring some other kind of produce He takes Maaser Sheni from it, he exchanges that Maaser Sheni for money, brings the money to your shalayim, and goes and buys wheat with it. That he can do. He can then go and use that wheat for the bread that comes with the Torah.
It goes from the Maaser Sheni.
From Maaser Sheni to money to wheat, and that wheat is acceptable.
So why does he got to go around? He can go directly.
No, because we're going to say in the next soon, why not? However, Yosef Rav Yirmiyah Kameda Rav Zera, Rav Yirmiyah was sitting in front of Rav Zera as a Talmud, the Yosef Akamar, and he was sitting and saying, and he, the Pashtus meaning Rav Zera, was sitting and saying, Loi Shonu Ela Mechite Maaser Sheni, like what Rav Nachman Rav Chista said, that what the Mishnah says is you can't use the actual wheat of Maaser Sheni, but you could use wheat that was purchased with Maaser Sheni money, Yavi, that you can bring as bread for the Torah. Omalei, however, well, that's what we're saying. It was the same thing as Rav Nachman and Rav Chista. But Omalei, but Rav Yirmiyah says, Ebi, after Omer came, you say it that way. Ani Omer, I would say, Afilu Mechitin ala Kofas Maaser Sheni lo Yavi. Even wheat that was bought with Maaser Sheni money you can't bring. So he argued, so he's saying that I can't agree with you, with Rav Nachman and Rav Chista and with you. On the face of it, when the Mishnah says that he can't bring Mishchit in Maisa Sheni, means regardless whether it's the original wheat of Maisa Sheni or whether it's wheat that was bought with money of Maisa Sheni, either way, no. And Rav Yirmiyah continues, the aim of time of the doch. Let me explain my reason and let me explain your reason. And the truth is, I don't know if it's Rav Yirmiyah saying all this, actually. I mean, first of all, usually when the Gemara says Yosef Pliny in front of Pliny the Yosef Bakama, usually means the Talmud said, and the Silo, and besides which also, when he's saying time of the D and time of the Doch, it seems that's not the way a Talmud would talk to his Rebbe. So it may be the other way around. It may be that Rav Yirmiyah is the one who said, like Rav Nachman and Rav Chista, and then Rav Zera, he starts by calling him Rebbe after Omer came. He doesn't mean Rebbe because he's not his Rebbe. He's a Talmud. He's just saying it in a respectful way, but he's saying, I disagree with you, and I'll explain what I'm thinking, and I'll explain what you, the Talmud, seem to be, and Rav Nachman and Rav Chista seem to be thinking. I don't know. The Gemara doesn't seem to make it explicit one way or the other. Anyway, so let me explain. I'll explain my reason, and I'll explain your reason. Why would there be one opinion that says that everybody agrees, again, our Mishnah said that you can't use the original wheat of Maisa Sheni for the lechem, for reasons that we're going to discuss in a second. So why should we say that why would there be one opinion that says that you can use wheat that was bought with Maisa Sheni money, and another one that says that you can't use that either? Aim of time that he does. So let me start with your reason. You're figuring like this. You're figuring that you are allowed to use wheat that was bought with Maisa Sheni money on the grounds as follows. Where b'chlal do you learn the concept that you can bring, that a toida is able to be brought from Maisa Sheni money? You're learning it mishlomim. You're learning it from a shlomim, because after all, a toida is called a shlomim, as we had a few times already in our Masechta. And ushlomim.
He's learning it from real shlomim.
From a regular shlomim, right. Ushlomim and shlomim in turn, how do we know that you're able to learn them, that you're able to bring them with Meister Sheni money? We learn by Xeda Shava, shom mi Meister. By Meister uses the expression, Ve'achalta shom. By shlomim, it says you also have the expression, Ve'achalta shom in Parshas Kitavoy. So therefore, we learn in Xeda Shava that you're able to take money of Meister Sheni and use it to buy a shlomim. Now, the reason why, the reason why we should need a limud for that, I mean, on the face of it, you should be able to buy anything you want, any food you want, with Maisa Sheni money. The reason is, because after all, we've had a concept before called that you're not allowed to be mamayt in achilas kodshim, you're not allowed to, for example, we talked about yesterday, you have a situation where you have an animal that might be a toda, might be a shlomim, you can't do that, because you're reducing the amount of time it can be eaten. Here, on the face of it, you're doing the same thing. First of all, some of the carbon, it being a shlomim, the fact of it is going on the mizbeach, so you're losing out that part. That to that extent, the money that you paid for that part of the animal with Maisa Sheni money is not going to food, and normally Maisa Sheni money has to be all for food. Second of all, then you have... Fine, but it's not food for human beings. And second of all, also, the fact is, you're reducing the amount of time that it can be eaten. Maisa Sheni could be eaten indefinitely. A shlomim can only be eaten for 2 days. So you need a limud in the pasuk to tell you that you're allowed to do that. So what we're saying, that's the limud. So we have a zera shava that teaches us that you're allowed to buy a shlomim with Maisa Sheni. In turn, then, we're learning from that by a hekesh, the toga, which actually the Gemara in Zvachim in that whole sugya of what of lomid min alomid bekodshim gave this as an example of where you have something that was learned for the Gzeda Shava and then you can turn around and learn from it when it comes to a hekish. Here is an example of it. Although that's true, but the Gemara does also mention over there that it really depends on the question: what's the more important thing, the thing you're learning from the lomid or the thing that you're learning through the malamid? Maisa dogon, maisa of grain, is not kodshim. So the rules of lomid min alomid don't apply to that. A shlomim is kodshim. So when we say, not necessarily is it a blanket statement that we can say within kodshim you could do a zeta shava and then a hekish. It would depend on the question: what's more important, the lomid or the malachim? The Gemara mentions that briefly. We've had that earlier in our Masech.
So it has to be from kodshim to kodshim.
That's the point. In other words, do we say when we're learning a Zeta Shava from something outside kodshim to kodshim, is that the first one in the chain? Because after all, the thing that we're learning by the Zeta Shava is kodshim, and then therefore the usual rules apply, that certain kinds of lomid min alomid are not acceptable, or do we say it doesn't matter because here you're learning from Maisa Sheni, which is not kodshim anyway. So therefore it's out of the picture, yeah. Okay, anyway, the point is,
and what Leon said,
it's Tosfos that mentioned, the Gemara there, and the Zvokin mentioned, and it says you have two different opinions about that. So we say you have. We had a review on the Sefta. We had a discussion on that subject, whether we're able to do that. It's based on that concept. Okay. So therefore, you're going to argue as follows. Well, then, if we're learning the Torah from the Shlomim, and the Shlomim we know that you can bring with Maaseh Sheni money because of that Zeta Shava. Okay, Umina. Well, then, from the comparison itself, we would say as follows. Ma Shlomim ain't Gufan Maaseh, just as Shlomim are not themselves Maaseh, because by definition they're not. Maaseh Dagon is Maaseh of Maaseh Sheni is from produce of the ground. That's the point. Therefore, by definition, a shlomim, which is an animal, can't be ma'aser sheni itself. Therefore, you're going to argue, af toida nami ein grupa ma'aser. So therefore, you're going to argue, fine, the comparison is just that the toida itself cannot be ma'aser. So that explains why you can't use wheat of ma'aser sheni for the lachmei toida, because then you would be taking something of ma'aser sheni itself and using it for the toida. And if the whole basis we have for being able to bring a toida is based on the comparison with shlomim, then that means that would be why we're saying that you can't use wheat of Maaseh Sheni for the actual lachmei toida.
Does it have nothing to do with shlomim?
What? Okay, so the idea is like this. The toida is telling us you can buy a shlomim with Maaseh Sheni money. But that means, though, that a shlomim itself can't be Maaseh Sheni, because Maaseh Sheni is only produce from the ground. A shlomim is an animal.
Right.
Therefore, we would say on the same basis, when it comes to a toida, where one part of the toida is an animal, and another part is supposed to be a produce of the ground, namely chalas, that are made from wheat, just like the animal, by definition, can't be ma'aser sheni, neither can the chalas themselves be ma'aser sheni.
We
can buy the behemoth with ma'aser sheni money, that's the point. Other kachim kalim, I mean, what? Bechor is not something you buy, it's a bechor is something that's born. Pesach, we're going to say actually in the next Mishnah, that Pesach you can only bring, any obligation that you have to bring, you can only bring from Cholin. You can't be bringing from Maaseh Sheni. You can't use from Maaseh Sheni money, right?
Well, you know that you could bring Maaseh Sheni money.
A Toda also was saying, but the point is, so far we're saying the Chala itself can't be from the weed of Maaseh Sheni, just like the animal itself can't possibly be can't be the actual weed of Maaseh Sheni, just like an animal can't be an animal of Maaseh Sheni, because there's no such thing.
You can use
the money of Maaseh Sheni to buy an animal by the same thing. You can use the money of Maaseh Sheni to buy wheat. Well, then, Bahani Chiti Alakokos from Maaseh Sheni Nami. So if you buy wheat using Maaseh Sheni money, good. Ain't go from Maaseh. Fine. The wheat itself is not the actual Maaseh. It was bought with Maaseh Sheni money. Therefore, Rav Nachman and Rav Chista and Rav Yirmiyah, apparently, are saying that that's acceptable. However, a matayma didi, but then continues Rav Zera, let's say, that let me give my own reason why to take the money of Maaseh Sheni, use it to buy wheat, and use that wheat for the challah. That would be acceptable.
Like the behemoth,
exactly. By the way, I mean, you have Acharonim talk about the question. I mean, later on on the Omud, we're going to talk about a concept, that we're going to have a machlokes Rav Eliezer and Rav Akiva, on the topic called, do we say ein donin etcher mishii etcher? Do we say if you have a certain din in the Torah where by definition it can't be any other way, is that a basis that we can learn from that to other places where conceivably it could be different? Do we say since you have one case where something we're going to have at the bottom of the Amud, we're going to have something involving the Pesach and the Mitzrayim versus the Pesach in future generations? Where Rav Akiva argues over there, ain't done in Epsher, the Shi'i Epsher. Okay, if you have one case where something is a certain way, where something has a certain din, because that's just how it is, there's no other possible way that it could be, you can't learn from that, from something to something else, where conceivably it could be different. So over here then, by definition, an animal can't be Maaseh Sheni, because Maaseh Sheni is only things that grow from the ground. So if we say in done in Epsher, the Shi'i Epsher, then what are we trying to compare the animal to the Chalos to anyway?
Everybody holds by this?
No, that we said it, we're going to say later, the machlokes that they were going to take. Machlokes is Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva. But still, according to Rabbi Akiva, how does this limud work? And the answer is because who holds, ain't done an extra, Mashiach, actually, right? So the answer is, precisely because, like I just said a minute ago, we need a limud in the pasuk, the chlal, to teach us that you could buy a shlomim with Maaseh Sheni money. Otherwise, you would think you couldn't, because you have the emurim go on the mizbeach, and you're being the mice is not active also, whatever. So therefore, we can only learn what we actually learn. If you learn that only the shlomim, that a shlomim can be brought with it, and yes, by definition, a shlomim is not something that grows from the ground, you wouldn't have a source to say that you're able to use wheat of mice or sheni for the lach meitzaza.
Only because
you're learning from shlomim, therefore you're saying you can sell you can redeem the mice or sheni for money and use the money to buy wheat. Fine. Okay. But aminus ema time of the then Reb Zera continues, let me explain my reasoning. Toida meheicha kayafinim. Again, where are we learning that you can buy a toida with mice or sheni money? The shlomim. Again, we're learning it from shlomim. Or shlomim shlomim meiser. And again, the same Zera Shava, that we're learning shlomim from meiser. But I would take the comparison between a toida and a shlomim a little bit differently. Ma shlomim a min meiser. The shlomim, it's not like in the previous discussion where we said shlomim ain't gufan meiser. Fine, they themselves can't be meiser, but they can be bought with mice or sheni money. They're not even of the same species as the meiser. Ah, toida ain't min meiser. The same thing. The toida has to be something which is not the same species as what meiser could possibly be brought from. So therefore, as opposed to wheat, which is bought with mice or sheni money, the min meiser, you know, where after all, wheat is wheat. It's still the same min as what you started out with. So therefore, Reb Zera is arguing that you can't do. It's true that the wheat itself is not goof on meiser because you bought it with meiser sheni money, but it is min meiser. It is min meiser because it is the same species after all. You started out with wheat and you're ending up with wheat.
So you could do
so
it.
So therefore he's saying you can't. Therefore, Reb Zera is, or Reb Yirmiya is arguing that you can't do that. So that would be the reason to distinguish. Do we focus on the fact that a shlomim itself is not meiser? Well, fine. The malach meitzer themselves aren't meiser than your good. Or are we focusing on the fact that a shlomim is a different species? It's a different kind of mitzvah than produce, because one's meat and one's produce, and therefore you would have to have the last mitzvah also have to be a different mitzvah, a different type of thing, and therefore that would mean you're also barred from using money of mitzvah sheni to buy the wheat for last mitzvah.
What do we say?
So that's the question. Or do we say that you could, because not gufan mitzvah? Are we focusing on gufan or are we focusing on min? On a gufan mitzvah or min mitzvah? Now it's interesting that Rambam doesn't actually, when the Rambam is writing these. Well, here that makes a difference in halacha. Can you spend mitzvah sheni money to buy wheat? For the Rambam, interestingly, just brings the words of the Mishnah exactly as it is. Below Yavi Mitzchit to mitzvah sheni, Evan Amaris mitzvah sheni, without specifying which opinion he holds by. So you have the Choyk Nassan argues, but the Rambam goes on to say that the bread has to be like the behemoth, and therefore he learns. Apparently, the Rambam is implying like the last opinion that we said, that it means you can't use the money to buy wheat for it either, because it still would be it would still be dissimilar from the animal because it would be the same mint. The other acronym argue with that and say that the Rambam might well hold like the first opinion, especially because you have Reb Nachman and Reb Chista and Reb Yirmiya on that side versus on the other side you only have Reb Zera. Okay. Anyway.
Okay.
So it's not clear from the Rambam's wording what he would hold. Okay. Amar Rabban. Now let's talk more about this connection between Meister Sheni and Shlomo. So again, a very common thing would be, and we learned based on the Zeta Shava, that you're able to do this, that you can take Meister Sheni money and spend it to buy an animal which you will offer as a voluntary shlom. You're allowed to do that on the basis of Zeta Shava, shlom. And that was a typical way of doing it. Like I said yesterday, there's a Mishnah in Shkolim that says that actually, for that reason, if you find money in front of the cattle dealers in your Shalayim, you have to assume it's Meister Sheni money, because most of the money that was spent over there throughout the year would be Meister Sheni money that was spent to buy animals, and therefore if you find it in front of the dealer, it means it wasn't spent, it's still Meister Sheni, still has a Meister Sheni.
Or the dealer got it.
No, if the dealer got it, it would be on his side of the counter. If you find it on the other side of the counter, yeah. Okay. So, Amar Rabban, Hamatzis Mois Meister Sheni L'Shlomim, if somebody takes the money of Meister Sheni, and Matzis literally means he grabbed the hold, but it means he designates. He designates that I'm going to take this money of Meister Sheni and I'm going to use it to buy a shlomim. The din is loy konu shlomim. It doesn't automatically have the kedusha of a shlomim. He can, if he wants, he can change his mind and go and buy something else with it. So the case we had in our Mishnah, Rashi Saviad says, where we said that you bring a toda from Mois Meister means that he actually went and bought an animal. we're there. Sure, of course, it gets the kedusha of my shani and now has it. But if he just verbally says, I intend to use this money to buy a shlomim, then that doesn't make it that now it has the kedusha of a shlom. Unlike, in other words, if it was regular money, if a person took a regular money out of his pocket and says, I'm going to use this money to buy a shlomim, then it has the kedusha of a shlomim, right?
But,
no,
why
but not my shani.
Why go the way not?
So that's what's the let's discuss. My timer, what's the reason? Deloy alima kedusha tashlomim l'meichal kedusha ma'itasheni, because the kedusha of shlomim is not strong enough to be chal on top of the kedusha of ma'itasheni. This money right now already has the kedusha of ma'itasheni. Until he actually spends it on something, it's still on food that he's supposed to buy, it still retains that status of ma'itasheni. So the kedusha of shlomim can't yet be chal on that money.
What did he take that from?
Well, he learns that's what he's saying. But let's see, maybe the Gemara says I have a contradiction from a Mishnah in my position.
Madoch, he can take money and buy food for it. Why can't he go buy shlomim?
Again, we said he should, hold on. We said he could buy shlomim. We had a Zereshava Shum that teaches us he's allowed to. And we needed that Zereshava because otherwise we would think he couldn't. Maybe you could only buy food that you don't have any limitations on when you can eat it. Yes. Part of it goes to the Mizbeah. The rest of it you can only eat for 2 days. Only Tahurim can eat it, etc. Yeah. Actually, it's Maisa Sheni also only Tahurim can eat it. Okay, whatever. Anyway. Fine. Maisa, the Gemara says, have a contradiction. A Mishnah in Maisa Sheni says, Halakeach Chaya L'Zipchei Shlomim, if somebody buys a wild animal, like a deer, intending to use it for a shlomim, now you can't do that, obviously, because only domestic animals, only cows, sheep, and goats, can be brought as kobanos. Or behemel of sar taiva, or he buys a domestic animal, like a cow, intending to just eat it as cholin. Sar taiva, because the expression in the pasuk is that in Parshas Re'eh, when it talks about the idea that you can shech the animals anywhere you want and eat them, ki sa'ava nafsha cholecho baser. So therefore, that's the terminology in the Gemara, when it wants to distinguish cholin from kodshim, a lot of times the expression will be sar taiva, yeah. So the din is, lo yosa ha'er l'cholin. The din is, the skin of the animal doesn't become cholin. Now, meaning, in other words, like this. Usually what you would have is, if you bring an animal as a shlomim, or any other carbon, actually, the skin of the animal is not burnt on a mizbeach. There's no carbon where the skin of the animal is burnt on a mizbeach. In the case of an oila, the skin goes to the kohenim, or the kohenim of that mishmar. In the case of most other carbonas, the skin goes to the owner, to the balabas. Now, so if, for example, if you take Maisa Sheni money, if you take, let's say, $100 of Maisa Sheni money, and you buy an animal for shlomim, once you're done with bringing the carbon, you have there a skin which is worth $10, let's say. Now, Maisa Sheni money is only supposed to be spent on food. You're not going to say, though, that means $10 of that still retains Gushas Maisa Sheni, and now you got to sell that skin for $10 and use that money to buy more food that you're going to eat. You don't need to. Yotah or lecholim, the money now becomes cholim because it effectively it's the equivalent. That's the normal way of buying something. It's the same way you have other things that it mentions in the Mishnayos over there in Maisa Sheni. For example, you buy a barrel of wine, whether the barrels included in the purchase price, etc. Because the fact is, if you're going to buy, let's say, a barrel of wine, you have to buy it inside a barrel. How else are you going to do it? So therefore, it's the same thing here. You buy an animal of necessity. It comes with a skin.
Wrapped in the skin.
Yeah, it's like a container. Basically. Okay.
Yeah,
so the point is it does absorb the kedusha, and therefore you don't have to use that money for food again. You use $100 to buy an animal for a shlomim.
Yeah.
The parts that were burnt on the mizbeach were burnt on the mizbeach. The parts that the kohenim eat and you eat are all dealt with. The skin you're allowed to keep. It's completely cool, and you don't have to do. You can do whatever you want with it.
You'll give it to the kohen.
You don't. Yeah.
When you designate it, it becomes kedusha.
When you bought the animal now became a shlomim. Now the money that you spent on it becomes cholin. Now the cattle dealer can do whatever he wants with the whole $100. We don't break it down and we don't say that you, the owner, have to do something with the skin afterwards. We also don't say that the cattle dealer has to say, well, okay, $90 of this is cholin, but $10 of it is still Maisa Sheni because it was used for a non-food item. No, you don't have to do that. However, the Mishnah is telling us that if you bought a wild animal or you bought a domestic animal from Sar Taiva, lo yosa or lecholin, the money did not, the skin rather, did not become cholin, which means you're going to have to sell that skin and use the money towards the shlomim. Now, the question is, lav lememra dekoni shlomim? Okay, but isn't the implication though that the skin got the kedusha of shlomim, and therefore that's what we're saying. You have to now go and sell it for $10 and use the money towards the shlomim. So Rav Ami is telling us that if you verbally said that I'm going to give my tashani money for a shlomim, it doesn't yet become shlomim, but here you bought something which can't possibly be used as a shlomim because you bought a chaya or you bought a behemoth from Pesach Taiva, and was saying that the skin still retains, still does have kedushas my tashani. According to Rav Ami's rule, it shouldn't, because you spent it on something that can't be used for a shlomim.
But the chaya.
The answer is, according to Rav Ami, it would seem that nothing happens. It means, in other words, all the money still has the kedusha of Ma'ase Sheni, not just the skin. The answer is, Ha Itmar Allah. Yes, but you know that there was said about that, Omar Rav, Loi Koni Shlomim. It actually means that none of the money became Shlomim. It means that the entire money still has the kedusha of Ma'ase Sheni. Yes, you're going to have to. The cattle dealer is going to come and tell you, I'm sorry, this money is still Ma'ase Sheni. I'll take the animal back, and you take your money back and spend it like you're supposed to. And therefore, so Omai lo yotza or lacholin. So what does the Mishnah mean when it says that the skin doesn't become cholin? It means that a bechlal doesn't enter the concept of being a shlamim such that the skin should be able to become cholin, because no kedusha of shlamim went on it at all.
If it wouldn't be for the shlamim, it would just be a tough time, but you also wouldn't be allowed to.
That's the point. So actually you make an interesting point, which is that you have a discussion of Rishonim. Is it a midoraisa you have to buy a shlamim with it? Is it, when we said before, the Gzeira Shava, Shom, does that say that you have to buy, that if you're going to buy an animal, it has to be a shlamim? Rashi seems to be implying that over here, and some other Rishonim also understand it that way. The Rambam, on the other hand, seems to say that not. It's only Gzeira Dirabana. Midoraisa, you could buy the Gzeira Taiva with it if you wanted. Midrabana, sure, you can still spend it on wine or fruit or whatever or bread or whatever, but if you're going to spend it on an animal, then such a kind of a shlamim that you should spend it on a shlamim.
Even if you designated it for a shlamim?
No, again, if you designated it for a shlamim, Rav Ami tells us that doesn't yet have it, you'll show a shlamim. But in other words, according to the Rambam's way of understanding, on a daraisa level, you could buy an animal from Sar Taiva, no problem. But the Chachamim don't want you to do that. Okay, so that's what it means. Ein b'toras lotus or l'cholim. We're saying over here that because you spent it on a chaya, for example, which is not capable of being a shlamim, or you spent it on sar taiva, meaning that you went against either the din d'araisa or the rabbanon, as the case may be, that it should be spent on a shlamim. Therefore, the skin, the chlal, did not ever enter the concept of having the kedusha of shlamim, such that we could talk about does it now lose its status of Ma'ase Sheni or not. It's as if no transaction ever took place. So that fits with Rav Ami's statement that unless you actually spent the money on a shlamim, the money still has the kedusha of Ma'ase Sheni. My timer, now why is that? Amar Rabba, because effectively it's the equivalent of as if like you went and bought an ox in order to plow with it. Well, there, for sure, we wouldn't say that was a valid way to spend Ma'ase Sheni money, because Ma'ase Sheni money has to be spent on food. If you were to spend Ma'ase Sheni on a non-food item, food is defined a little more broadly because it also includes smearing your skin with ointments or whatever, but the point is, it means something that for direct use in your body, or whatever. If you were to spend Ma'ase Sheni money, let's say on sparim or whatever, no good. The money still has the kedusha of Ma'ase Sheni, and that's it. The guy who sold it to you is eventually going to want his thing back and give you back your money, so it can be dealt with properly. Okay. More on this topic, Itmar, Hamas is Moris Ma'ase Sheni L'Shlomim. More on this topic of if a person takes his Ma'ase Sheni money and verbally designates that he's going to use it for Shlomim. So we just said that Rav Ami says that Loi Konu Shlomim. So now we have a further discussion about that. It's actually a machloik. Rav Yechanan Omer Koni, Rav Elazar Omer Loi Koni. Rav Yechanan says, not like Rav Ami, that it actually does get the Kedusha of Shlomim, and therefore that he can't change his mind. He can't change his mind. Once he verbally said it's going to be for a shlamim, then it's the equivalent of regular money that he said is going to be for a shlamim. No, not three opinions. You have two opinions. You have Rav Elazar holds like Rav Ami, and Rav Yechanan disagrees with him. Okay.
Why? What's the svaras?
Well, the svaras are like this. Va'aliba de Rabbi Yehuda. Now, we have like this. There's a machloikus between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir elsewhere in Shas, primarily in Kedushin. It comes up in other places in Shas as well. What is Maaser Sheni money fundamentally? Is it fundamentally yours, but the Torah puts certain, the Torah imposes certain rules on it, that you have to take it to Yerushalayim, etc.? Or is it fundamentally mamon gavoya? Is it fundamentally Hashem's money, and just Hashem is giving you permission to eat it, rather than also giving it to the Kohenim, or bringing a korban, or whatever. So, va'aliba, and it comes up, for example, in Kedushin, with the question, can you be mekadesh a woman? The classic thing throughout Shas, you always have the litmus test. Does something belong to you or not? Can you use it to be mekadesh a woman? If it belongs to you, you can. If it doesn't belong to you, you can't. So therefore, that's something that have machlokes in kedushin. If a person is mekadesh, a woman with ma'aser sheni money, is it a valid kedushin or not? No, the money can be used anywhere. I mean, you have to take the money to your shalim eventually, but the money itself can, you know, yeah, I mean, yeah. No, that has nothing to do with it. If it was payless ma'aser sheni, that would be a little different, maybe. But anyway, the point is that the Baal Libet of Yehuda do amam ma'aser mom and head yetu, according to Yehuda, who says that ma'aser sheni is fundamentally your property. For example, you can be Makadish a woman with it. Well, then, the Kula Amalek Ligidikani. Well, then, everybody, both Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Ami also, would have to all agree that, of course, it becomes Shlomim because it's your money. It's exactly the same as any money, as any other money of yours.
You just
try to work out. Right. Keep Mayor. The Machloikis will be within Rabbi Meir's opinion. I'm a Meister Mom and Gavoyasi. Where the mayor says that the Maaser Sheni, that is, and the money for it, is fundamentally mum and gavoy. Fundamentally, it belongs to Hashem. You can't be Makadish a woman with it, for example, because it's not your money to be Makadish with. So now we have the Machlokes, Amaroyim. Manda on the Loikoni, so Rabbi Ami before, and Rabbi Lazar over here, who says that it doesn't automatically become Shlomim just because you said so, well, then that's straight out to the mayor. Rav Meir says it's Mamon Gavoya, therefore you don't have, therefore, just because you said it's a Shlomim doesn't yet take off the Kedusha of Maaser Sheni until it's actually said. Uman de Omer Koni, what about Rav Yechanan who says that it is Koina, that it does become Shlomim, he has the Kedusha of Shlomim, he would say the difference is like this. Kivin de Maaser Korig Le Shlomim, Korig Le Shlomim really, since Maaser is able to be spent on a Shlomim, as we said with the Gzeir Shava, Shom, therefore, ki mitzvah is leinami tafis. So therefore, eventually it is most likely to become shlomim. So therefore, even now, the kedusha of shlomim has enough power to be able to override the kedusha that of ma'aser sheni that it has now. Even though it's mamon gavaya, it's not your money, but still it's similar to your money in the sense that it can get the kedusha of shlomim even while it still has the kedusha of ma'aser sheni. It'll now have both. Still, on the basis of, because we just said before, that there's a connection by that Zeta Shava between Maaser and Shlomim. So Rav Ami and Rav Elazar were arguing that once this money has the Kedusha of Maaser Sheni, there's no room for any other Kedusha to be Chal on top of it. Therefore, it can't get the Kedusha of Shlomim until it never gets the Kedusha of Shlomim. Eventually, you go and buy a Shlomim animal with it, then the money becomes Kolin, and the animal is Shlomim, and there's no Maaser Sheni Kedusha left. But before that, not the money itself, right. Rav Yochanan, though, would argue and say, because of that connection between Shlomim and Maaser, therefore the money is able to have both Kedushas. It has the Kedusha of Maaser Sheni still, in the sense you still have to take it to your Shalayim and spend it over there, but it also has the Kedusha of Shlomim that now you're obligated to use it to buy a Shlomim.
This doesn't continue on the discussion of the skin.
So we said, once you buy the animal properly, then the skin will become cooling. You'll go and be macro with the animal.
Well, it won't
matter as far as the skin, right? Okay. Okay.
So there's some of both, in other words.
Yeah. Yes, so in other words, it's able to have two kedushas, one on top of the other, yeah. Okay. Fine. So the Gemara says, Macy, I have a contradiction against Rabbi Yechanan. A Braisa says, Hamasis Mois Maaser Sheni L'Shlomim. If a person designates his money of Maaser Sheni L'Shlomim, the question is actually on Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Elazar. We say that the money can't have both kedushas. But the Braisa says, Hamasis Mois Maaser Sheni L'Shlomim. If a person does designate his money of Maaser Sheni is going to go for Shlomim. Kupoidon, if now he wants to be Koida those money, those coins, exchange them for other coins, let's say, then Moisifalen Shnei Chumshin, and he has to add two Chumshin. Echad lahektish for echad lamaiser. Because whenever you Koida your own Maiser Sheni, you need to add a Chumsh. That's the Torah tells us, in Goli Yigal Ishmi Maiser, Chamishi Sigayisifalov.
So if you're taking the Maiser Sheni, that's two Shlaim, you have to add to it.
So in other words, yeah, if you start out with $100, if you start out with $100 worth of grain and you're exchanging it for cash, you have to exchange it for $125 worth of cash, and then you take that to your shlaim and spend that $125 on food.
How much do you have to give back?
Well, so it's 25% extra. It's called chomish because, as usual, with most fractions in halacha, it's milagav. The fraction is a fraction of the total new amount. 25 is 1/5. Of the new total of 125. And in modern terms, we would call it a quarter, or 25%.
You know, if you leave it as wheat, it would spoil?
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Now, what you can have is you can have somebody else be part of it for you. There was a whole sugya about it in Bava Metzia that we had a couple of years back where, yeah, you can be married and you can have a family member be part of it for you or whatever. Yeah, so there are ways around it. But if you're part of your own, you need to add a chumash. Similarly, if you purge your own item from Hektish, you also need to add a chumash. Same thing. It also mentions in the same section over there of how she's looking at it. Well, there's that also, right? So therefore, now if he has this $100 in Maisa Sheni, which he designated that he's going to bring for a shlomim, now it has two kedushas on it. There it has a kedusha of Maisa Sheni and it has a kedusha of Hektish. And therefore, when he's purged it, he's going to have to add two chumash. And he's going to have to be purged it for 150. So that means, in other words, that it can have two kedushas. The answer is, the Gemara says, Nisabrit Jivrat Kol Hi. Yes, but you think that Bryce is according to everybody? No, Homani Rabbi Yehuda. You could very well say that Bryce is only according to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda, who says, Amai Tashani is Mom and Hedya. Of course, therefore, we just said before that even Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Elazar will agree according to Rabbi Yehuda, sure, it can get the Kedusha of Shlomim, because the Kedusha of Amai Tashani is still Mom and Hedya. It's still your own money. You can be Makadish a woman with it, therefore, you can also designate it as Shlomim. But according to Rabbi Meir, that's Mom and Gavoya. Then it wouldn't, and therefore this brisa wouldn't hold according to the man.
So the bottom line is that according to the Yehuda, we have to pay a 50 if you're
so according to the Yehuda, yeah, okay. You take my Tashani money and you designate it as Shlomim, and then you want to be part of it, yeah, you're going to have to add two extra bits.
And that's the reason, because it accumulates
two kedushas. But according to the mayor, it can't. According to the mayor, Rabbi Yechanan would still say, even the mayor would say it could. So according to him, the brisa would work according to everybody. But according to Rabbi Ami and according to Rabbi Elazar, no, it could only possibly be according to Rabbi Yehuda. And since the halacha is not like Rabbi Yehuda, the halacha is like a mayor about Maisa Sheni, that it's Mamon Gavoya, then that means that this Braita would not be a liberty hilchosa, would not be the final halacha. As far as who the halacha is like, as far as the general discussion about whether Kanu Shlomim or not, the Rambam has things like Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Elazar.
No.
The halacha is like a mayor, but the halacha is like a mayor. That's mom and gavoya, and because of that, we're not going to make the distinction that Rabbi Yechanan is saying that it's mom and gavoya, but nevertheless, Meister and Shlomim have a connection, and therefore it's able to get both. We're going to say straight out, Rabbi Meir says mom and gavoya, therefore there's nothing to talk about. You can't get another kedusha on it as long as, because it's not your money.
Rabbi Eliezer and
Rabbi and Rabbi would be saying that. Exactly what we just said. That since Rabbi Meir says it's Mom and Gavoya, then there's no playing around with that. Mom and Gavoya means that's it. No matter what, even if you designate it for a shlomim, it doesn't yet get the kedusha of shlomim, because it's not your money to put that designation on it. Rabbi Yochanan is the one who wanted to make the distinction that since Meiser and shlomim have a connection because of the Gzeira Shava, therefore it can get both. Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Ami disagree with that concept. Yeah.
So the final
halacha is that if a person is makbis, if a person designates his maisa sheni money, he's going to go for a shlomim. He doesn't have the kedusha of shlomim yet. If he wants to be poide, he only adds the one chomish for maisa sheni, not the chomish for hektish. And he can change his mind and say that I don't want to use it for a shlomim. I want to use it for some. I want to use it for some other kind of food.
But if you wouldn't,
right. The Mishnah says, continuing, so the previous Mishnah had told us again that ordinarily a person can't bring a toida, that is not ordinarily. If a person has an obligation to bring a toida, then he can't bring it from Maiser Sheni money. The only way he can would be if he said to begin with, I'm going to bring a toida from Maiser, where then, in other words, if there's no obligation on him from before, if the Mishnah had said Harei Olai, that I'm obligated to bring a toida, then automatically you have to bring it from Poland, because once you have a choiv, you have to bring it from Poland. only if he says, I'm using my Maisa Sheni money for Toja, which is the equivalent of saying, I'm using my Maisa Sheni money for Shlomim, that would work. So now, because not a Chayfa. So now our Mishnah is going to expand on that. Where do we see this concept? The Mishnah says, Minayin lo'oimah harayalai Toja, shalo yavi elamin acholin. How do we know then? This is what we said in the previous Mishnah. It's a bit unusual, actually. Usually the Mishnah just tells us the halachas and the derivation of them for brises, which are all to be quoted in the Gemara. It's not often that the Mishnah does this to ask itself, where is the source of this? Okay. Minayin lo'oimah harayalai Toja, shalo yavi elamin acholin. How do we know that the person says, I am obligated to bring a Toja, that he cannot bring it from Maisa, so he has to bring it from Poland. Talmud Lomar, so it's like this. The Pesuk says, there's a vasta Pesach la'Hashem alekecha sonu vokar. You should offer a korban Pesach to Hashem out of sheep and cattle. What do you mean cattle? Valak Pesach, ain't bayon marak vasim in it isn't. The korban Pesach can only be sheep or goats. Cattle means cows, bulls, whatever. Behemagasa. A korban Pesach can't be those. Im kein matam adam sonu vokar. So what does the Pesach mean when it says vokar? Now mind you, in other places in Shach, the Gemara learns a variety of other dinim. From this, the Gemara learns a variety of other dinim from the Pesach. It teaches us about the shlomim that comes with the Pesach usually. It teaches us certain dinim that churches that we learned about Uli and Zvachim. We learned about a din about a moisa Pesach that becomes a shlomim. Moisa Pesach, like if you have a leftover animal that wasn't brought for the Korban Pesach, or you have leftover money that was supposed to be used to buy the Korban Pesach or whatever, that it becomes a shlomim. So okay. There's a number of dinim that we learn from this vokar, but here's another one. It came not samad by the sonu vokar. So what are we learning from the expression of the Pesach sheep and cattle? It means lahakish called zavra habomin asonu min habokar lepesach. It's making a hekish of any other korban which is able to be from sheep or goat with the Korban Pesach. From sheep or from cattle, rather, including, for example, a shlomim or a toida or any other carbon, because any carbon can be from those three types. They can be cattle, they can be sheep, or they can be goats. So the toida is making a hekesh between all other korbanos and the Pesach. Ma Pesach zavah shabachayva, just like the Pesach is something that you're obligated to bring, because you have to bring one every year. The ain't bar element of Poland, and you can only bring it, and therefore and you can bring it only from Poland. Now, how do we know that itself? That the Gemara is going to deal with that itself. How do we know that? But anyway, let's take it as a given that a Pesach can come only from Poland. Askol davar shabachayva. So from that we learn any other korban that you're obligated to bring ain't bar element of Poland can only come from Poland, not from Maisa.
A Pesach is very specific.
But it's not. As we're going to see. L'sichach, therefore, and that's the reason for the hekesh. L'sichach, and therefore, therefore that results in the din that we said in the previous Mishnah. If somebody says, I'm obligating myself to bring a toda, or I'm obligating to bring myself a shlomim, hoil or boin chayva, now that this toda or the shlomim became a chayva, because he said harei alai, lo yaviu, element acholim, and he can only bring it from chulim, and he can't use maisa sheni money for it. If he had said that I'm going to use my maisa sheni money for a toda or for a shlomim, that would have worked. Yeah. And then the Mishnah finishes off. And that means, by the way, aside from Toda and Shlomim, it also means other korbanos that are obligatory. A person can't bring a chatos or a zoshim, let's say, from Maisa Sheni money, because those are also a chayva, etc.
And how would this answer?
Well, so that's what we said before, right? So we said if he says that the Toda and the Lachma are going to come from Maisa, then he can do that, right? Okay.
And Minchas Nedava.
Minchas Nedava, actually, I think you have Tosfos discusses elsewhere in the Masechta and says, I think that you can't. I think there may actually be a machlokas on that point. But can't bring it from Maisa Sheni. No, of course you can bring it from Poland. Yeah, that you might not be able to bring it from Maisa Sheni. I'm not sure about that, though. Okay. Or finishes off the Mishnah, or Nesachim, now when it comes to the Nesachim that accompany a Toda or a Shlomim or various other Karmanas, Lo Yaviu, Elamin Acholim, those regardless. B'chol Mokam, regardless whether he said Harei Alai, whether he said that I'm going to bring them from Maiser, the Nesachim can only come from Kolin. Because it's one thing the Shlomim themselves are actually eaten. The Lachmei Torah themselves are actually eaten. But the Nesachim are not. They're burnt or poured on the Mizveah. Therefore, you don't have any Heter in the Pasuk. You don't have any Heter to bring them from Maiser Shem.
There's no
English right. Yes. Pesach Gufei Menolon. Okay, so the Mishnah is telling us that you learn all other korbanos from Pesach, and we're taking it as a given in the Mishnah that the Pesach has to come from Poland. New, where we know that itself from. So it's like this, Titania, we learn in a brisa. Rabbi Yezer Omer, Nema Pesach the Mitzrayim, but Nema Pesach the Dirt. Look, you have like this. You have the Pesach that they brought in Mitzrayim, the night before you did Mitzrayim, and then you have the Pesach that Hashem tells us to bring in future generations, as long as there's a Mishkan or a Beis Hamikdash.
Where does it say that?
What do you mean, where does it say that? It says in the Torah.
Where
in the Torah it says, first of all, in Parshas Bo itself, it says that later on in Parshas Re'e, also Vatisa Pesach Lashem like a son of Walker, the pasuk that we mentioned in
the Majoris.
Yeah, that's talking about Majoris. Those Sukkim are talking about Majoris. Those Sukkim are talking about Akhenaten and Torah. So yeah. So you have a number of places in the Torah where it mentions the mitzvah to bring a carbon paste. Okay. So Rabbi Eliezer says, in that case, you have a hekesh between the Pesach and Mitzrayim and the Pesach of future generations. Ma Pesach ha'omer Mitzrayim le'bar element ha'chulin, just like the one in Pesach, by necessity, came only from Chulin, because there was no such thing as Ma'is Hashem yet. Ma'is Hashem only applies once they came into Eretz Yisrael. Af Pesach ha'omer le'dorot le'bar element ha'chulin. The same way, Pesach and future generations can only be from Chulin. Say, Amar lo Rav Akiva, but Rav Akiva says to him, and this is the point that I brought up before about the chidonin esher mishii esher. What do you mean? In Mitzrayim, it was e esher. There's no other way to do it than from Cholin, because there's no such thing as Ma'is Hasheni yet. How is that a proof for future generations where there exists such a thing as Ma'is Hasheni and Ma'is Hasheni money that you should say because of that? It's not even before and after Matan Torah. Hashem said for the Derech that you have to bring a Pesach, not necessarily. Rabbi Akiva is arguing, how can you say, because in Mitzrayim it couldn't come from Ma'is Hasheni money, because there was no such thing as Ma'is Hasheni, therefore you should say future generations it also can't. What kind of a comparison is that? On the law, Rabbi Eliezer answers, doesn't matter. Alpha Fisha E, sure. Yes, it's true that in Mitzrayim it was impossible any other way. Doesn't matter. Raya Zolahi is still a great proof. The Noman had manner. We can learn from it. Rebbe Eliezer does not hold of this idea of Ein Don and Epshem Mishi Epshem. The fact of the matter is that in Mitzrayim you had to bring it from Cholin. Therefore, that's your precedent. Your precedent for Korban Pesach as it's brought from Cholin. You don't have any basis for it's sort of like you said at the top of the Amud, just the opposite. You don't have any basis for arguing that it should be able to be brought from Ma'is Hasheni. Therefore, you can't. It ain't done an extra machine extra, but in other words, Rebbe Eliezer is saying it doesn't matter. The fact is, you want to argue it should be brought from Ma'is Hasheni, you have to bring a proof to that. Chozer Rabbi Akiva v'donei dina. So Rabbi Akiva says, you know what? Fine, I'll bring a different proof for my position. That you can't learn one from the other. Ma'ala Pesach Mitzrayim shekain ein ton matan zomim ve'in murim l'gavim mizeach. Consider the Pesach Mitzrayim has a leniency because you don't have to put blood on the mizeach because they didn't put the blood on the doorpost. And actually, there's a Gemara in Sakhan that says it was sort of the equivalent of the mizeach, but nevertheless, it's not an actual mizeach. There's no burning the imurim on the mizeach. In fact, the Gemara in Sakhan says they may have eaten the imurim. They may have roasted them together with the Korban Pesach and eaten them. It's before Matan Torah. There's nobody still of eating Kreva, yeah? So the one in the Mitzrayim, there's no Matan Zaman, the imurim, the Gavim mizeach. So therefore, it's not at all like a shlomim. How do you compare with Pesach Dorot, Pesach of future generations, where you have the blood goes on the Mizeach and the Emurim go on the Mizeach? So therefore, in that sense, it should be more like a Shlomim, and just like a Shlomim can be brought from Ma'is Hasheni, so should a Pesach. In fact, actually, the Chedushim Amir Chasim LaRashba asks the question, isn't that sort of a backwards Kal V'Chomer? You're arguing that the Pesach Mitzrayim is more lenient, and therefore you want to say that there's a stringency in it that you couldn't bring it from Ma'is Hasheni, whereas the later one has a chumrah that you have to put the dom and the imurim on the mizbeach, and you want to learn from that a kula that you should be able to bring it from Ma'is Hasheni. Anyway, what's the law of it? He says, no, the verse is, which miyuchas the Rashi on the top of it here implies something similar, that, no, that's the idea is we're not making a kavach chayim. We're saying the Pesach Mitzrayim is completely unlike a shlomim, whereas Pesach Doris is, in a way similar to a shlomim, because both of them have Jomim and Emurim, go on the Mizbeach. Therefore, just like a shlomim can be brought from Ma'is Hasheni, so should Pesach Dorot. That's Rabbi Akiva's argument.
Can we say
therefore he argues that the Pesach should be able to be brought, that doesn't compare. Yes, Pesach Mitzrayim wasn't brought from Ma'is Hasheni, and you, we're going to say in a second, when the Gemara starts analyzing the Brisa, we're going to say Rabbi Akiva still sticks to his guns, that I hold Ein Don and Esher Mishi Esher. But the whole derivation from Pesach Mitzrayim is invalid anyway. But even you, Rabbi Eliezer, if you insist on learning from Pesach Mitzrayim, but Pesach Doris is more similar to a Shlomim, yeah. Yeah.
Isn't it the same concept like the Efshim Yefshim?
No, it's different. Rabbi Akiva is saying, forget Efshim Yefshim. Even if you, Rabbi Eliezer, the Gemara is going to say that soon. Even you, Rabbi Eliezer, you're going to argue, ain't done an Efshim Yefshim, fine, but why are you comparing with Pesach Mitzrayim when instead it's more logical to compare with Pesach Doris? Where instead it's more logical rather to compare, not to instead of contrasting between the Shlomim and Pesach Mitzrayim, better point out the similarity between Shlomim and Pesach Derev, and say if the Shlomim can be from Ma'ase Sheni, then so can Pesach Derev. Okay. Amalai, so Rabbi Eliezer answers Rabbi Akiva, fine, but Harehu Omer, but after all, you have a pasuk that says the avadcha asavoda azos b'chodesh hazeh. The pasuk says that when you come into Eretz Yisrael, you should do this avoda, the service of the Korban Pesach and the rest of the mitzvah of Pesach b'chodesh hazeh in this month, which means it makes a hekesh sheyu kol avodas shachodesh hazeh hazeh. It means that all the avodas of the Korban Pesach that are done in this month of Nisan all have to be like this original one that was done in Mitzrayim. Every Korban Pesach that's brought every year in Nisan has exactly the same dinim as far as these things. So if the one in Mitzrayim couldn't be brought from Ma'ase Sheni, then it means the ones in the future generations can't be brought.
And also that means you need to come for the blood in the second tandem.
No, when things that the Torah tells us explicitly otherwise, not so that we learn from other limudim, we learn in Tzvachim, a limud, how exactly we know how the blood of the Korban Pesach goes on the Mizeach, or Shvich, or Zrika, or whatever, etc. So those dinim that we learn from other limudim, fine, but other than that, the Tekesh teaches us the similarity between them.
And okay. How do you know that this similarity
applies to... Well, that's where Eliezer is arguing, that's the similarity that the Torah is implying with the Tekesh. And in fact, the Gemara is going to point out further on the Amud, Ein Meshivin ala Hekesh, that once you have a Hekesh, there's no arguing back on it. Unless you can show that the Hekesh itself means something else, then the fact that there's a Hekesh proves it. Yeah, okay. Fine. So now let's analyze the discussion. Rabbi Akiva, what is Rabbi Akiva thinking when he starts off with the second argument that let's not compare to Pesach Mitzrayim, let's compare to Pesach Derev? If he continues to stick to his original position, that just because in the shrine you couldn't bring from Ma'ase Sheni because there was no such thing yet, doesn't prove for future generations where there is such a thing as Ma'ase Sheni, if he still holds by that, like Uba Milse, then let him just stick to his original position. He doesn't have to bring another proof. Leku, let him stand. It's the same charge as Haiti. Bimilse, in his original statement, let him say, look, ain't done an extra Mashiach extra. You want to hold, we learn from Pesach Mitzrayim. I hold, we can't learn from Pesach Mitzrayim.
Instead of bringing another proof
that Shlomim and Pesach Zerudas are similar. E Hodjabe, and if you're going to say that he changed his mind and argue that you could learn extra Mashiach extra, does it mean that he changed his mind, and he held, yes, done an Esher Mashiach, and you're going to argue that he says, yes, but after all, consider Pesach Zodus, where you have Domim Ve'emurim, the Gavim Mizbeach, and yet you can bring it, and it should be similar to a Shlomim. If that's the case, Pesach Mitro Yechiach, then Rabbi Akiva should consider, there's a third Pesach that we have to deal with. There's the one in Mitzrayim, where there was no Ma'ase Sheni, and there was also no Domim Ve'emurim, the Gavim Mizbeach, versus at the opposite extreme, you have the one Lajotus, where you have Ma'ase Sheni, and you have Domim Ve'emurim, the Gavim Mizbeach, but then there's one in the middle. You have the one that they brought in the second year in the Midbar, the one that's described in Parshas Va'aloitzko, where the people complain that they're Tomei, Loma, Nigora, etc. What happened over there? Now, there you have one, but one second, hold on. There you have one, but not the other. You still don't have Ma'ase Sheni yet, but you have Domim Ve'emurim, Lagavim Mizbeach. So what's Rabbi Akiva saying? Better compare. You know, Pesach Doris is similar to Shlomim because they have Matan Domim Ve'emurim, Lagavim Mizbeach. Therefore, you should be able to buy them both from Ma'ase Sheni. Rabbi Akiva himself could argue, Rabbi Akiva himself should realize, yeah, but on the other hand, what about the Pesach in the second year? They also have Domim Ve'emurim, Lagavim Mizbeach, so in that sense, it's similar to a Shlomim. Yet that one couldn't be bought with Ma'ase Sheni, again, because it didn't exist yet, whereas the ones Lagodas you're arguing can.
So two and three
are different. One and three are polar opposites, but you have two in the middle over there.
And two is still not.
And two is still dissimilar from, right. Well, it's similar as far as Dhamma and Vayin Mordechai. It's similar as far as Dhamma and Vayin Mordechai. So therefore, so that's the question. In other words, why is Rabbi Akiva bringing, so what is Rabbi Akiva thinking to do with the second argument? If he still holds that, look, you can't learn to pay Sakh Mitzrayim anyway, then that's it. We don't need any further discussion. No. Then why is he bothering to bring a second proof at all? Forget it. You can't learn to pay Sakh Mitzrayim, period.
Okay, yeah.
And if he's saying, you know what, Rabbi Eliezer, I agree with you, done in Efshe Mashiach Efshe, even though in Mitzrayim it was impossible and in later generations it's possible, you can still learn one. Then, when he brings his proof from Pesach Darius, he should think to himself, yeah, but what am I going to do with Pesach Midbar? And then his argument would fall apart. The answer is Ledvarav de Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Akiva is saying, I still don't accept your position, Rabbi Eliezer, but let's argue within your position. Lididi, as far as I'm concerned, ain't done in Efshe and she Efshe. As far as I'm concerned, you can't learn Efshe from E-Efshe, therefore, Rabbi Akiva. Therefore, the whole thing that you want to learn from Pesach Mitzrayim doesn't even begin. Yeah. Forget Pesach Mitzrayim, it's out of the picture. I would argue that a Pesach could be brought from my Tashani money. You want to argue to the contrary from Pesach Mitzrayim, not a proof because my Tashani didn't exist yet. L'didach, but according to you, to Amrit, John and Efshe, Mashi Efshe, where you want to learn from Pesach Mitzrayim, I would ask you, okay, Mala Pesach Mitzrayim, Shekane Eni Tony, Matan Gamma, Mimu, Gamma, and Zaya. But on the other hand, I would ask you, Rabbi Eliezer, why are you comparing the Pesach Mitzrayim, which is completely the opposite of a Shlomim, because there's no Gamma and Murim to the Mizayah either. Toyma, the Pesach Dorah, Shekon, Matan Gamma, Matan Gamma, Mimu, Gamma, and Zaya. Why are you applying the same thing, the Pesach Dorah, which is more similar to a Shlomim, and therefore should have the similarity to a Shlomim of being able to be brought with my Zashane? So, in other words, he's telling Rabbi Eliezer, You hold done in Efshe and she Efshe. Fine, but you agree it would still be more. You have to agree it would still be more logical to learn from the more similar kind of Pesach than from the less similar kind of Pesach. Why are you Davka insisting on learning from the one in Mitzrayim? Why are you insisting on learning from the one in Mitzrayim, which is so different than the Shlomim, rather than learning from the one of Dorot?
Maybe since I take the Dorot to compare it to Pesach,
to compare it to Shlomim. He would say, which one is more similar to a Shlomim, Pesach Mitzrayim or Pesach Dorot? The Pashas Pesach Dorot is more similar to a Shlomim. Therefore, it should have the same dinim as a Shlomim. So I'm saying it a little wrong. Why are you learning Pesach Dorot from Pesach Mitzrayim when you have that dissimilarity about Jamim Ve'emurim? Better learn Pesach Dorot from Shlomim, which are similar. That's the point. I think I said it a little bit differently, but whatever, yeah, okay. So that's what he's saying to Rabbi Eliezer.
He's not asking to learn from the second year at all.
That's the thing. So he's not mentioning the second year at all. So he's saying like this. I myself hold Pesach Mitzrayim is out of the picture anyway. But you have a choice of learning. You have a choice where to learn Pesach Dorot from. Why are you learning? And you hold you can learn from Pesach Mitzrayim, even though it's Efshe, but why are you learning it from there rather than learning it from Shlomim? That's what Rabbi Akiva is saying to Rabbi Eliezer. Yeah. Ve'omalei Rabbi Eliezer, ve'alvavta. And Rabbi Eliezer is answering him with his hekesh of ve'alvavta. That's very nice. It might be logical to say that. But since you have ve'alvavta, that all the avoiders of Pesach in every nissen throughout the generations all have to be similar, then therefore that means we have to learn Pesach Zerdus from Pesach Mitzrayim. We don't have a choice of learning it from Shlomim. So that's blocked by the hekesh.
Why doesn't Rabbi Akiva accept that, seemingly?
Maybe.
It's a hekesh. It's not just...
Well, that's what we're going to get to in a minute, right? In the end, actually, Rabbi Akiva, we're gonna talk later. In the end, Rabbi Akiva does agree that Pesach ain't a bar of the Malachim. He does agree with the din of our Mishnah. He just learns it in a different way, as we're gonna say later.
Because there's no slogging up a hekesh,
but you can argue that the hekesh is teaching you something else. That you have as a common place throughout Shas, that you'll have a hekesh, and they'll argue what it's teaching you, but yeah. Okay. Okay, now let's look at the next part of the Braisa. We said, when Rabbi Eliezer gives his hekesh, why does he have to bring the hekesh? Why doesn't he say, Lema like Pesach Midbar Yechiyah? Why doesn't he say to Rabbi Akiva, okay, you don't want to learn Efshe from E-Efshe, but at least you should be able to learn, No. Right now, sorry. For purposes of the question, the Gemara is assuming, again, that Rabbi Eliezer is still sticking to his opinion, that done in Epsher Mishi Epsher, just because in Mitzrayim there was no Maita Sheni, means you can still use it as a source for anything else. So he should tell Rabbi Akiva, look, you want to argue that Pesach Gerdes is different than Pesach Mitzrayim, because one has Domim and Murim on the Mizrayim and the other one doesn't. But what about Pesach Midbar? The same thing that we said before that Rabbi Akiva himself should have realized, that shlugs up his second proof. Why didn't Rabbi Akiva, why didn't Rabbi Eliezer Taka point that out to him? Rabbi Akiva, you have also the one of the second year, where it has Domim and Murim Lagabim Mizbeach, and yet it can't come from Maita Sheni, and therefore we should learn from that to Dura. And the answer is, the Dvarav did Rabbi Akiva come away again. The answer is, he's saying, I now for a second, let me put aside my opinion and argue within what you yourself, Rabbi Akiva, are saying. Lidi D, as far as I'm concerned, done in Epsher Mishi Epsher, you could learn Epsher from Epsher. Umishum Hai Tircha Pesach Midbar Yechiyah. And as a matter of fact, precisely because of that, I would say, even you want to argue that you can't learn from Pesach Mitzrayim, because dissimilar as far as Domim Ve'emurim, nevertheless, I'll still, as my backup, I'll say I can just as well learn from Pesach Midbar, where there was Domim Ve'emurim, and it still couldn't come from Maita Sheni, it still didn't come from Maita Sheni, because there wasn't any such thing yet, and therefore I can learn from that for Dardis. Ledidah, according to you, Rabbi Akiva, Da'amit, Ein Donin, you are arguing that you can't learn Epsher Mishi, Ein Donin Epsher Mishi Epsher, but I'll answer you, okay, but I have my trump card, the Avadza. I have a Hekish, and there's nothing you can do about that.
One second.
The Hekish is, everything that's Bechodesh Hazeh has to be the same way. Okay. So the question, fine, so the question is, the Hashta Nami Lichrosh, okay, even if we have that Hekish, shouldn't we be able to slug it up with the same argument, ain't done in Epsher Mishi Epsher? Rav Akiva should still say, okay, but obviously, again, the Hekesh does not teach us that everything in Pesach Dorus is exactly the same as Pesach Mitzrayim, because, yeah, you have one doesn't have Domim Ve'emurim and the other one does. One has one you have to buy it 4 days in advance and the other one you don't, etc. There's a lot of dissimilarities between them. So why doesn't Rav Akiva say, by the same logic,
the Hekesh could display and Domim
No, that's the argument, just the opposite. Why don't we take Epsher, why doesn't Rabbi Akiva say, fine, but nevertheless, Ein Donin Epsher Mishi Epsher, and therefore that must not be a detail that you're learning with the Tekish. We're going to be learning other details with the Tekish, but not this one. The same way, in other words, again, both Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva agree that there are, Both Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva agree that obviously there are definitely differences in halacha between Pesach Mitzrayim and Pesach Dirt. There's a Mishnah in Sochin that lists a bunch of them. So obviously the Hekish is not meant to say that every single thing that applied in Mitzrayim applies with Dirt. So therefore, let Rabbi Akiva say, okay, you, Rabbi Eliezer, are arguing that one of the things you're learning with the Hekish is about Maisa Sheni. I would argue on the basis of Ein Don and Epsher Mishi Epsher, that one obviously has to be excluded. Why does he need to do that? The answer is, Omer of Sheshet, Zoyt Ein Meres Ein Meshivin Ala Hekish. The answer is, you can't slog up a Hekish. You can show that a hekish, you can show this as a detail that's not in a hekish on the basis of some other limud, but you can't use a logical derivation to say this particular thing doesn't belong in the hekish. Why is that? Because a hekish is something, that comes as halacha l'moshe nisim. A hekish is not something that you can come up with yourself. A hekish is not something that you can come up with yourself. Rashi, Miyuchas Rashi on the top, points this out. That a kavachomer, a person can come up with on his own. Therefore, kavachomer, you can slug up with logical arguments, a pircha. But a hekish is something that, similar to a zeta shava, you can only do it if you learned it from your rebbe, etc. Allah l'moshe nisim. Therefore, once you have a hekish, then there's no slugging it up with logic.
Hekish has a certain meaning. Allah HaMashin Sinai, there's one meaning on this. You just said before that you can give another meaning.
No. You can say that there's a hekish, but on the basis of other limudim, on the basis of other Yud Gimel Midas Shatron and Yerushalayim, we can argue that the hekish is limited only to this detail or only to that detail or whatever. But you can't use logical arguments to say Ein Don and Epsher Mishi Epsher, which is not one of the Yud Gimel Midas, to break apart a hekish and say it doesn't apply. So therefore, Rabbi Akiva, so Rabbi Eliezer is saying, you can't use any pircha against it. Even if you hold Ein Don and Epsher Mishi Epsher, it won't work.
In other words, you can hold from Ein Don in the
Extra Mashiach, sure. But you're gonna say that's not good enough. That's not good enough to break the Hekesh, right? So you could say that. You could say the Hekesh is.
It's true that he was trying to supplant Endanim instead of the Hekesh.
Not really. Well, not really instead of. I mean, Rabbi Akiva hadn't brought up the Hekesh yet. But once he brought up the Hekesh, then that's it. Rabbi Akiva can't find an answer to that unless he's going to say that the Hekesh itself is valid, but it's teaching us other dinim on the basis of some other limud or something. But later on, so the Gemara doesn't really seem to get into explicitly how he knows, after all, that Pesach. I mean, we're going to get the next thing is after in a second is going to be how he knows Pesach ain't a bialim and a cholin, and the Gemara is going to give us a different limud for it. It doesn't seem to. Later on, the Gemara is going to deal with what he does with the limud in our Mishnah, the Zavata Pesach, Hashem Alekach Alpern Nevakar, and in the course of it, I think we're also going to get to what he does with Rabbi Eliezer's Hekesh. I haven't learned that far yet, but we'll see. But anyway, okay. So now one more detail. The Gemara says on this discussion, over Tavitza Omer in the Tavitza, meaning in the Yeshiva, they pointed out here's another problem. The chidaver halamed behekish chozer malamed behekish. We learned in Zvachim that when it comes to kodshim, if you learn one thing from another with a hekish, you can't then go and learn a third thing from the second one with a hekish. So now we mentioned it a few days ago. It's come up a number of times. So what are we telling? So what are you saying over here? You're learning Pesach Dorot from Pesach Mitzrayim, and in turn you want to learn, as our Mishnah said, you're going to learn a Torah with a Hekesh. Now you're going to learn the Torah from the Korban Pesach using another Hekesh. You can't do that. In Kodesh, you can't do that. So if we're saying that ultimately we're learning, like Rabbi Eliezer is saying that we're learning Pesach Dorot from Pesach Mitzrayim using the Hekesh of Avodah Zarah, then how can we then go and learn from Pesach Dorot to the Torah using the Hekesh of Zavata?
You should have said that the first time.
Two different Hekeshes, but you can't. Once you learn Pesach Dorot by a Hekesh, you can't take that din and now learn it from Pesach Dorot to Toda by another Hekesh. That doesn't work.
That seems to be a major argument.
Okay. The answer is Bechlola Ismar. The Mishnah is not learning only from Pesach Dorot. The Mishnah is learning generally Pesach Mitzrayim and Pesach Dorot is all in one category. It's not really that you're learning one from the other in a Hekesh. They're all in one category. They all have the same name, Pesach, and they all have basically the same thing. Pesach, Kol HaChol B'Milsahidi, and all Pesach are essentially one thing. Yes, we broke it down before and we said we had Pesach Mitzrayim versus Pesach Zeres, and in between over there we had Pesach Midbar, but the fact of the matter is they are all fundamentally the same thing. They are all fundamentally a Korban Pesach, which has certain genes. So therefore, once we have we're not really doing a Hekesh from Pesach Mitzrayim to Pesach Dorot, and then from Dorot to the Torah, rather we're doing a Hekesh from the Pesachim generically to the Torah. And that we can do.
Well, we said in Pesachim that you cannot do Hekesh after Hekesh,
but
we say that unless it is the same category.
No, but that's what we're saying. A Hekesh from one... No, no, no. So that's the thing. So a Hekesh means that when you're taking a din from one korban, for example, and applying it to a different korban. Here, Pesach Mitzrayim and Pesach Dorot are not two different korbanos. They're the same korban, just ones that were brought at different times. No. So therefore, we only have one Hekesh from Torah, from Pesach to Torah. That's from Pesach to Torah, and that's fine. That we can do.
But in Zvachim, seemingly, we just said that
Hekesh from Hekesh doesn't work. We didn't specify over there what's considered a Hekesh and what isn't. But Rashi, for example, gave a rule the other day when we had a discussion about the Shtei Alechem and the Lachme Toda and all, that if you have a din that it says in connection with one korban, which then you're trying to learn from that to another korban, that can be called a Hekesh. As opposed to if it says that other korban right there, together with those dinim, and we said over there we had a word in that passage that we darshan to refer to the korban toda, then it's not a hekesh, then it's considered as if it said right there that this korban needs X amount, and then from that we can use to a hekesh. Similarly over here, we're saying we're not saying that Pesach Mitzrayim and Pesach Doros are two different korbanos that we're learning a din from one to the other. We're saying they're all the words V'albadjas Avodazas V'chodesh Hazar are actually teaching us all the korban Pesach from all generations are all one korban.
No, I understand.
Yeah,
but
therefore,
also applies to.
So therefore, so that's it. Once they're one korban, then whatever dinim apply to one of them automatically, without even needing a hekesh, you're not even using a hekesh to extend it to the rest of them, it's just automatically. If they're all the same korban, then obviously they have the same dinim.
So how did we just a second ago said it might be a hekesh?
The B'nai Tavitz asked that, the B'nai HaYeshiva asked that, and now we're explaining the reason is, because it's not a true hekesh. It's not a true hekesh would be if we were learning, let's say, from Pesach to some other korban, and then from some other korban to Toga, that would be a hekesh on top of a hekesh, and we can't do that. But here, we were doing within the Pesach itself, and then we're doing from that to Toga, that you can do.
Still from Pesach to
Toga. No, Pesach to Toga is one hekesh, that's fine. That's one hekesh.
Pesach, Toga.
But it's not, that's the B'nai HaYeshiva, the B'nai Tavitza were asking that, it's from Pesach to Pesach, and then from Pesach to Toga. The answer is no. It's from Pesach as a blob to Toga. The general concept of Pesach to Toga, and therefore there's only one hekesh, and you can do that.
Well, we still have to go from Pesach Mitzrayim to Pesach.
No, but that's the thing. The answer is that the words V'albatei Asavodas V'chodesh Hazeh are not so much a hekesh as showing us that there's a category called Pesach. There's a category called Pesach which includes all of them, Mitzrayim and Dur. As opposed to, for example, a hekesh between a Pesach and a Toda, let's say, doesn't put them all in one category. There's no korban called Pesach Toda. They're two different categories that happen to have the same din. As opposed to, here we're saying, the answer is that the V'albatei Asavodas V'chodesh Hazeh makes it that you have one gigantic category called Pesach, which from that now we're learning to the other korban. And that we can do.
It's a hekesh is spent within Pesach, but it's from
Pesach. But it's not, that's not really called a hekesh, though. That's not really called a hekesh. That's the equivalent.
You think it's not a hekesh?
No, because you're not using one pasuk. V'albatei Asavodas V'chodesh Hazeh, Shiyur Kol Avodas V'chodesh Hazeh, Hazeh, that all of them have to be the same, meaning that all Pesach are the same thing. They all have the name Pesach, and they all have the din of Pesach. Yeah.